Joining us in the studio on Static this evening, it is fantastic to welcome in, not even jet-lagged, Ryan from Rival Consoles. How are you?
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good, despite all the travel.
You've travelled, but you've come a long way. First time to Australia, huh?
That's right, yep. It's surprising, really, because I've been making music for the last 10 years under this name, and we've always had a following here, but this is the first time that... Actually, it's not only the first time for me, but also my manager, Rob, who runs Erase Tapes. It's his first time in Australia, too.
So it's an auspicious trip. Yeah. What's the amount of gear like that you have to bring on Rival Consoles tours these days, Ryan?
It's quite a minimal setup. I have two hardware synths, lots of guitar pedals, and MIDI controllers, but basically it fills a whole table but packs down into two flight cases.
You've got it down pat as well, have you? Got your Tetris working?
Yeah, we've got everything all compact into sort of very... Well, it depends if I've drank a lot. You know, packing sober compared to packing after a show is very, very different world.
Sometimes after a show, that suitcase won't pack itself at all, huh?
Yeah, it will look... I mean, I've seen some sound engineers look at how I pack cables and recoiled in terror.
Was it even simpler for Rival Consoles when you started out? Was it just, I don't know, you and a laptop or something 10 years ago?
Yeah, but there was no equipment to begin with. I never really had much money regards to like buying studio gear for the first 5 years of making music, so it was super minimal. And then as I devoted more and more time and became a little bit more successful, I've been buying more and more equipment. So now it's... Well, I still have a minimal setup, though, but I definitely have a lot more toys.
It feels like even those first couple of Rival Consoles records were a lot more immediate and simple as well. I mean, you started out really making bangers, didn't you? Like Io and Kid Velo, the 2009 and 2011 albums were a lot more clubby and hedonistic, right?
Yeah, they were much more direct. And I guess because I was younger as well and I had experienced less things as a human, they were kind of more... binary, black and white, whereas then subtlety started to come to the focus of my music as I got older and experienced more things. So I think looking back, I always think how direct my music was.
Yeah, and were your visuals back then just, I don't know, a screensaver of flying toasters or something?
We definitely didn't have visuals then. Lucky if we had a functional table.
Yeah.
Actually, I have even played a show sitting on the ground because there wasn't a table, for example. So that, yeah, that wasn't...
Never going back now.
But yeah, it's good now. Everything's good.
And did the more contemplative Rival Consoles material come hand in hand with adding more visual aspects to your shows? Did you start thinking more about what you wanted the project to represent?
Yeah, but I think the music shifted before the visual element came into it. I think just getting older, getting more used to exploring electronic music as a language, everything sort of developed naturally over time. And then shortly after that, the visual aspect started to creep in and become more present. But it's a very natural, slow process. It wasn't like a revelation.
Has it been interesting for you almost creating an identity through the visual stuff and thinking more about what people are going to come away from a show with?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I mean, the main thing for me is that with electronic music, there's so much repetition and safeness to it. So when we do the visuals live, it is completely improvised and there's no playback material. And I like the fact that we... create attention because within my electronic music there is a lot of playback and a lot of looping and a lot of repetition, but the visuals draw out all the elements within the music that aren't doing that. So it basically focuses you on the chaos and the improvisational aspect of the live show, you know, rather than going to an electronic performance where there's this really well curated playback material which goes from like A to B to C to D. This is just more just a simple improvisation.
You also titled this year's album Persona after the Ingmar Bergman film. So, again, is it creating a persona, though, through music? Is that what the idea behind having that as an album title was? You know, as someone who makes dance music, to give a face, really, to it?
Yeah, well, just to just draw upon basic human existential values. Rather than simply making something that functions, I like electronic music to explore just the values of existence, so like different emotions, different sensations. I'm really interested in how music seems to have its own narrative, because I come from a background of playing guitar and being a musician outside of electronic music for 10 years before I started making electronic music. So I think my perspective is very much from a songwriter's set of values, and I try to maybe, without not forcing, but just naturally approach electronic music in the same way.
To be less of a programmer almost.
Yeah, just I'm really interested in story a narrative. I don't want something that simply sounds good or that functions. I'd rather have something that doesn't sound good that expresses something, basically. So I kind of am more interested in that.
Ryan, speaking of the sound of rival consoles, there's a real sound artistry and or, if you want to call it, architecture to so much of the more recent material. It's almost that texture of making a record sound bigger than its limitations. Will, do you spend a lot of time in mixing? Do you tear your hair out at that point? Like, how do you sort of go through the stages of getting a record to that point?
Yeah, there's definitely a long period of just trying to not only digest the ideas and present them in the clearest way, because my music is very chaotic the way that I make it, and there's lots of improvisation and rough moments that are recorded in live. And then sometimes that's too much, sometimes it's not enough. So I'm just constantly trying to find a way to bring all the pieces together in a way that expresses the fundamental idea the best way. But it is many, many months of sort of not actually working, but listening. I do a lot of listening. So I might spend 4 months of a year listening and then 6 months actually doing work. So there's a lot of, like, for me, I find it hard to understand what is going on.
So you need some distance or something.
Yeah, distance and just so much listening. I don't know if that's something that's specific with electronic music, but I just trying to understand, because it's really important, I think, to be considerate and to think really clearly about what is going on and where the weight lies, because you might have several ingredients in a piece of music, but to really understand the importance of each layer, I think that's what can make an idea really sing, is to, like, great musicians understand, like, where the weight lies within, like, a given idea or, a melody or a harmony. So I'm trying to do that.
The builds in the title track, Persona, are great because it sort of dices with this distortion and then pans hard at its end section as well. It's almost like you do need to disrupt your songs sometimes to get that result out of them, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of conscious sort of disruption going on in my music to create tension. I'm really interested in tension in music, whether it's rhythmic tension or harmonic tension. So I'm just always trying to get energy out of ideas so that they have either pushed towards wanting to resolve or are pushing in towards chaos.
Is also a big part of it the balance between electronic and analog sounds as well? Do you find that too much of one or the other can swing the pendulum too far?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, in that track Persona, for example, I'm playing brushes on a snare. But it doesn't really sound like brushes on a snare. So what I've done is I've created like an electronic sound with a traditional instrument, but simply because I like to swap the functionality of things. So sometimes if it's too electronic, it can be boring. But just simply recreating a similar gesture with something else, like substituting. I'm really interested in substituting things. And that way it sort of refreshes everything. But yeah, if it's one way, if it's too electronic or if it's too traditional, you can be uninspired by it. So I'm just trying to find a kind of conversation between the two worlds.
And Ryan, field recordings seem to be a component of rival consoles as well. The new single, Them Is Us, has what sounds like rain hitting the pavement in its second half. Are you sometimes out of the studio to make a song?
Yeah, there's lots of subtle placements of recordings, like snow falling, rain falling. Basically, I tend to use a lot of sounds from nature that are embedded within the music that add some kind of disruption, subtle disruption to something that's very static. Like, okay, here's an example that if I have a hi-hat pattern, I'll often use the sound of splintering wood or, some kind of crackling sound that then has the same rhythmic pattern, but you unconsciously, you perceive something richer than it is. So it's just a way of sort of adding more texture to music. And this is quite common, I think, in music production, but I tend to like for it to come to the forefront instead of it just being like a functional tool.
And how many hours do you have to spend lying in the rain or the snow to get the right right sound of it falling?
Well, it's just I tend to do that without forcing it into a music composition. So I love recording like outdoor sounds, but also not even high quality. I love just recording sounds on my laptop, where it's very noisy and almost fatiguing and a little bit resonant, because you can find amazing things from recording natural sound with less desirable high quality things.
Because it sounds different to what your ears normally hear.
Get a different tonal quality. So I love sort of exploring recording natural sounds with various tools. And it's not like an agenda where I'm trying to get the exact right sound. I just like to collect basically a set of sort of sounds and then I can play with them in a sort of collage way.
I thought you might have been able to use coming to Australia as an excuse. You needed the surf at Bondi Beach on your next record or something.
Well, actually, it's not something I planned for, but yeah, now you've mentioned it, I will make the effort to record some moments in Australia, and that can be like maybe come a specific project.
I really want to hear a Kookaburra laugh on a rival console's record at some point.
Could happen, it could happen.
Well, look, come back anytime. Now you finally got here after 10 years or more. You're always welcome back, and plenty of sounds to go around.
Thank you. Yeah, I've come this far, so I can definitely do it again.
We might have a listen to this new single, Them Is Us, which does have a bit of that rain towards the end of it. It was so great to have rival consoles in Australia. Thanks for the chat.
Thank you very much.
And this is Them Is Us on Static. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.